presence of God is here, and that's always precious. This morning we're going to continue on with our series on the Holy Spirit. We had an amazing message from Jeffrey 2 weeks ago, and where we heard how the Holy Spirit came with wind and fire, and he poured out his Spirit on the early church and all who were in the upper room. And they went on to do incredible things for the Lord, and they were witnesses demonstrating God's power through the whole of Israel, Asia, Turkey, through Eastern Europe. They did amazing things. And so this morning, I want us to focus on how we can walk with the Holy Spirit like that. Because we're not seeing much of that, are we, yet? Because I believe we will. So, you know, global issues are getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And things will shake more and more and more. We know this, the Bible says it. And more necessary is it for us to walk closely with the Holy Spirit and to have fellowship with him and to know his voice and to be able to respond to what he's telling us to do. We have a slide. 2 Corinthians 13. We know this scripture so well, don't we? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Emphasis on the word fellowship. Oh, we do a lot. Oh, we've been singing about Jesus, and rightly so. He's our King. He's the one who died for us. But, you know, he's in heaven right now. The person who's with us is the Holy Spirit. He's the one that indwells us. And, you know, we know that we can't live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. I can't anyway. There's nothing we can do. We're totally dependent on him. And he desires a close walk with us. In fact, he was working to develop relationship with us before we even knew him. Sorry, I'm taking my glasses on and off, but something's gone wrong. I can't see my writing. Never mind. The Holy Spirit was there before you were even saved, wooing you to the Lord. The Bible says it's he that draws us to God, and we can't come to God unless the Holy Spirit draws us. So he gave us the faith to believe. Ephesians 2:8 tells us that by grace you were saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God imparted to us at that moment we're believing by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that enabled us to believe. And when we first came to Christ, and it's the same for every one of us, he sealed us as children of God. Ephesians 1:13 says, in him you also trusted, Jesus it's talking about, in him Jesus you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then as we heard from Jeffrey, when we ask, he comes and he fills us to overflowing with his presence, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And he came to dwell within us and began the process of transforming us into the likeness of Christ. He's dwelling on the inside of us. We have another slide, please, I think. 1 Corinthians 6:19. We are God's temple. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Think about that for a moment. God used to dwell in a temple made with hands. Now he's living in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know that we know this. We know it up here, don't we? But do we know down here in our hearts that we have the most powerful being that has ever existed dwelling on the inside of us? I think if we had a revelation of that, if we were conscious of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts every moment of every day, we might live a bit differently. I think we'd be bolder. We'd be stepping out in faith. We would be fearless, you know, and I want to be like that. I'm sure all of you do as well. So really, we need to get to know the person of the Holy Spirit in a much greater depth and become aware of his indwelling presence, becoming God inside minded, that we know he's with us all the time. The Holy Spirit is an amazing person. If we think back to Genesis, he was involved in the creation of all things. In Genesis 1, verse 2, remember, it was the Holy Spirit that hovered over the face of the water. And then God said, let there be, and there was. It was the Holy Spirit, the almighty power of God, who carried out God's instructions and created everything that we see today. He's an amazing person. He possesses all the divine attributes of the Godhead. He is eternal. He always was. He always will be. He's omniscient. He has the knowledge of all things. He's omnipresent. That's a mind-boggler, isn't it? How can the Holy Spirit dwell in each and every person at the same time? Millions of Christians all over the world, and he is living on the inside of us. He's amazing. He's omnipotent. He has limitless power. He was the power that performed all the miracles in the Old Testament. He was the power that performed the miracles we see Jesus doing in the New Testament. The apostles doing, excuse me, I just need a. He anointed the kings and the prophets in the Old Testament. He anointed Jesus. Can we remember that Jesus, even though he was God in the flesh, he did no miracles, didn't manifest any power until after he had been in the wilderness, tested and tried for 40 days. And he came back in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he did his miracles. Amazing. He is a person, the Holy Spirit. Not a force, not a fire, a mist or a wind, although he can manifest himself through those things. And he has done many times. Remember the burning bush that Moses saw? That was the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. He was the pillar of fire that led the Israelites. He was the cloud that led them by day. You know, he is the one who parted the Dead Sea, the one who multiplied the food when Jesus fed the thousands. And then he was the tongues of fire and the wind at Pentecost we saw 2 weeks ago. He's the one who healed the sick and raised the dead. And he's done that many times. And he's the giver of all the natural talents that we have in our lives. And you know, when we were being formed in the womb, God was already, he and the Holy Spirit, making his plan out for what he wanted us to do in our lives. And they were fashioning that. And when we were born, God imparted the natural talents that we needed to walk in what his plan for our lives is. He's amazing. And he speaks to us in many different ways, doesn't he? Gosh, he spoke to us this morning through the worship that brought the presence of God into this place on a corporate level. He's amazing. And he speaks to us through his word, through dreams, through visions, through impressions, through prophecy and words of knowledge and all of these kind of things. And we're going to look at those in weeks to come. But, you know, he's resident in us, and he's the one that releases the fruit of the Spirit through our lives. You know, love, joy, peace, and all of those nine fruit of the Spirit. We can't perfect these in our lives. Well, I can't. I can't do them without the Holy Spirit. I can't love the God kind of love without the Holy Spirit. He's our strength. He's our helper. He's our comforter. He's our peace. And he has all the attributes of personality. He has a mind, he has a will, he has emotions. That means we can please him. It also means we can grieve him. So we have this amazing person living on the inside of us. So how do we fellowship with him and experience the fullness of why he's living inside of us? Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they are agreed? The Holy Spirit is, his name says it, he's holy. He is sensitive. The scriptures often depict him as a dove, sensitive little bird. He can be grieved. If we want to walk with him, we need to learn what he likes, what he doesn't like, what behavior he will applaud and what behavior he won't. He's not going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we are the ones that have to change if we want to walk in close fellowship with him. Could we have the next slide, please? We know this scripture as well. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. Ephesians 4:30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And we break his heart when we sin, when we don't live right. And relax, I'm not going to go through a list of sins that will grieve the Holy Spirit. You all know this. We know that sin grieves him. And we want to be people that please him, don't we? We want to live in a way that will please him. But there are some ways that we don't necessarily consider a sin that can also grieve him, that we might be guilty of. And those are the few things I want to go through. What about when we neglect his word? And when I say that, I mean, I know we read the word, but you know, forgive me, I bet none of you do this, but I have done it. You're busy, you've got a busy day ahead, you whip through your scriptures, so I get my daily reading plan done so that I can get out and off I go. I can see by the face, it's more than just me that's done that. But you know, we need to love the word. We need to read it not just as a duty, but we need to love it and study it and think about it, memorize it, meditate on it. He wrote it for our benefit after all. He didn't need it, it's for us. And 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and it's profitable to instruct us, to help us, to correct us. And we need to know it. It pleases him. He's the spirit of truth. And David said in Psalm 119:11, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So we need to give the word a real place in our lives where it becomes very important. And then, of course, when we read the word, we need to obey the word, don't we? James 1:22 says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Delay in obedience is actually disobedience. And can you remember what happened in Genesis when Adam sinned and didn't obey the Lord? God's heart broke. And he cried out in that scripture. He said, Adam, where are you? What have you done? You know, God was heartbroken because of that act of disobedience that plunged humanity into chaos. and destruction. And then the children of Israel in the wilderness, they were so disobedient, grumbling, groaning, you know, and God speaking to Moses said, oh, that they would just listen to me and do what I tell them to do, then everything would go well for them. And so God's saying the same to us today. If we will just obey his commands and obey his word and just respond when the Holy Spirit puts his finger on something in our lives, then we immediately respond and change that thing to line up with his will and his purpose and be pleasing to him. And you know, we say that God speaks to us. And I've heard many people say, well, I don't hear the voice of God, I can't hear it. And, you know, I would, in my life, I found that if I find there's a famine on the word of God coming to me in whatever way, and I feel a bit dry, it's usually because I haven't obeyed something he's told me to do. You know, it doesn't have to be a bad thing. The Lord told me to study healing quite a long time ago, and I was too busy, I didn't do it. And you know, the word of the Lord was just not flowing freely. And so I had to repent of that and start studying. And then the flow of the voice of God came back. You know, and so let's be mindful of that. Another thing that really hurts him is when we don't trust him. You know, when we allow fear and doubt and unbelief to take hold, faith pleases God. In fact, the Bible tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please him. And you might say, well, I don't have faith in this area. I don't have faith. But you do, because the Bible says that God has given to every single person a measure of faith. And we can grow that measure of faith by feeding and reading on the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And, you know, faith is a decision. When times get difficult, when things are a bit, you know, emotionally fraught or whatever, there is always the word that we can stand on. And if we're going through something, and I had to do this, in many occasions, I'm not going to share any of them, no time. Circumstances can look absolutely horrendous. They really can. But you know, circumstances change. The word of God does not. It is constant. It is stable. It will never change. We can trust it. And we need to stand on the word. And we need to reject those fears and doubts when they come. We need to take the sword of the Spirit and we need to use the word of God and dissolve those lies that the enemy tries to put into our minds. Another thing is not giving him the highest priority in our lives, as I said before. So easy to get busy that we don't give him the time he deserves. And what did he say in the Ten Commandments? They haven't changed. They're relevant today. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. That's a challenge, isn't it? But we need to give him first place, you know. We need to eliminate distractions and busyness and cultivate a consciousness of his presence. Spend the time to sit quietly and listen to him. Give him chance to speak. So often we go into our devotional time and we do all the talking, we quickly read through our scriptures, and then we rush off. And I can imagine God going, oh, well, I actually had something to say. <You know? laughs> So let's give him the time he deserves. You know, we went to the Ground Level Leaders Conference in April, a few of us. And it was brilliant. And there was one lady from Sweden who spoke there. And she gave a very helpful tip. And she said they had done amazing things that I haven't got time to tell any of them. But she said, interrupt your schedule throughout the day with praise. Keep your life simple. Declutter it. Get rid of the unimportant things. And make the Holy Spirit your dependence, not our own strength, not doing things, oh, I can do this, you know, but let's lean on the Holy Spirit. Let's make him the one who is our helper. That's what he's come for, isn't it? And this is a hard one. Surrender our wills. We all have trouble with that. I don't believe that there's anyone that doesn't. Jesus said, Lord, your will, not mine. And he went through the horror of the cross because it was God's will. And we are to do the same. We're to present our body a living sacrifice. We are to daily take up our cross and follow him. Let the Holy Spirit change the things in our lives that he wants to change. You know, don't resist. Don't drag your heels. Can we put the slide for Galatians 2:20, please? Okay. This is a real challenging scripture. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm sure we all want to live like that. And it's certainly my goal. But I find my flesh gets in the way. And I have to keep knocking it on the head, and I have to keep putting it to death. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God, the Holy Spirit, was with him. Now, Jesus is in heaven, and we, the church, are on earth, and God is now anointing his church. Can I have the next slide? John 14. This says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done, even greater works, because I'm going to my Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. So, Jesus said we can do exactly what he did. We can heal the sick. We can cast out demons. We can feed the 5,000 if necessary. Because, not because we can do it, but the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of us. And, you know, why are we not seeing this? I've been asking this question for a few months. We know. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead resides in each one of us. Do we know that? We know it here, but do we know it down here? I think if we knew it down here, as I've said before, we'd be a lot different. The gifts of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit pours out in our life, you know, we're going to talk about those in coming weeks, but they are not for the church. You know, it's lovely to have prophetic words, and they are to encourage the church and to build up the church. But the gifts of the Spirit are mainly for the unbelievers out there, so that we can release the power of God to a broken, dying world who are hungry for something stable. You know, we need to demonstrate that God is real, that he cares for them. And the world needs us. Huntingdon needs us. Your work colleagues need you. And, you know, the Holy Spirit is not holding back. It's up to us to get rid of any blockages that we've got that stop him from flowing. Remember when Jesus said, if you believe in me, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water, flowing out to those around us wherever we go. He wants us to be bold like lions. He wants us to step out and give him the opportunity to minister to those we come in contact with. Jesus said, I can only do the things that I see the Father doing. And so if we want to do the things that the Holy Spirit wants us to do, we need to be in such close fellowship with him that we know what he wants, that he knows, you know, that we know when he wants to step out. I'm nearly finished, but in closing, I just want to share something. And this is not to point a finger at me. I'm trying to demonstrate what the Holy Spirit will do if we step out when he tells us to. Just before I retired, I was working with a lady in my company who had a heart condition. I think it was some kind of severe angina that she used to get, and she had a spray pen thing that she could feel an attack coming on. And she had to spray this under her tongue. And I don't know how it works, but anyway. This one day, I was just looking up from my desk, and I saw her, and she threw her office chair back, and she just got up, and she said, I'm going to have an attack. And she ran. And I thought, my goodness me, what's going on? And the Holy Spirit said, go after her. So I didn't even think. I just threw back my chair and I ran to catch up with her. And I got her to the first aid room, called the first aiders. And I just said, Linda, I don't know what to do for you, but can I pray for you? She said, yes. And so I prayed a little prayer. The first aiders came in and I left. And I thought, oh, Christine, you totally blew that. What a stupid little prayer you prayed. Anyway, the ambulance came. She went off to hospital. And she was off work for a couple of weeks. And then she came back and she said, I need to talk to you, Christine. I said, okay. She said, you know when you prayed for me? She said, I felt like heat go right through my body from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I was stunned because I didn't feel anything at all. And I thought I'd totally done nothing. But, you know, as a result of that, I was able to explain to her what all about that. Invited her on an alpha. She came on an alpha. She got saved, and she's now going on with the Lord. An amazing, amazing thing. That was not at this church, I have to say. It was at Open Door. She went on the alpha. Yeah, so, you know, I believe in my heart, and Matt said it this morning, that we are entering a season where God wants to manifest himself to a broken world. He wants each and every one of you and me to participate in that. And he's going to pour out his spirit. But, you know, let's put him first. Let's give him that place of priority. Let's be hungry to pursue a relationship with the Holy Spirit and keep ourselves being filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. You know that in the tabernacle, when they were consecrating the tabernacle and the priest built the altar, put the wood on the altar, the fire from heaven came down and lit the fire. And every day, the Levitical priesthood had to go and put fresh wood. They were not to let that fire go out. And it's a picture of us. We've been filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants to overflow out of us. We've got to keep that fire on the inside of us, that presence of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, topped up, if you like, for want of a better word. So let's pursue a close fellowship with him. Let's live lives that please him. And let's be alert to his promptings. And let's boldly act on them. In that way, spreading the fragrance of his presence throughout our communities, our workplaces, wherever we go. And we bring honour to Jesus and to our Heavenly Father in doing that. Amen.